teaching. Now, we talked last week about, throughout the course of the series, we're going to study four major strategies, four major tactics that Satan is using to wreak havoc and to destroy homes. And the first one that we're going to start studying this morning, it'll take a couple weeks to get through it all, is divide and conquer. Satan is trying to divide and conquer the home as we know it. We need to understand it, and we need to know how to protect our family against it. So look in your scripture, Malachi chapter 4, verse 4. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So God says, listen, in the end days there's a curse, and one of the evidences of that curse is divided homes. And I'm going to send a prophet that he might draw the hearts of the dads to the kids and the hearts of the children to the dads to put the home back together, because it'll be a sign in the end times that there will be a lot of divided homes. And Satan loves to divide families. Now, our family loves the ocean. We love going to the ocean. We love being in the ocean. We love messing around in the water. It's just something recreationally our family really enjoys. So a couple years ago, we were in San Diego. We kind of found a secluded spot. We got parked. We got out to the beach area there, and the tide was beginning to descend. And so we were making our way out there, and we were getting pretty far out there, and we were getting on some rocks, and we were finding crabs and fish and just kind of having fun and finding stuff and catching stuff and just making memories and all that. Well, we had kind of lost track of time and what was happening with currents and so forth, and that tide was starting to come back in. And by the time we noticed it was coming back in, it was coming back in with a vengeance. I mean, it was really coming on us. And our kids were younger, they were smaller. And Suzanne and I looked at each other and we said, if we're going to get from here to that shore, we're going to have to really stay together as a family. So we kind of all locked arms and got ready, and we were trying to make our way kind of over rock and through some area and try to get over to the shore. I don't know, we were probably 100, 200 feet away from the beach line there, and those waves were just really starting to come in. And so we were making our way, and we were going over some coral reef and some rock, and there was some sharp area, and we were kind of making our way over kind of an awkward spot. And at the same time, a really good wave came in, and I had a Joseph between Suzanne and I, and that wave came in, and when it was done, there was no more Joseph. I mean, he was gone. And Susanna instinctively, as only a mom can do, I mean, just without thought of her own life, just dove right in trying to find Joseph. And I've got three girls who are crying. Susanna's in there trying to find Joseph and save his life. She steps on a sea urchin. No, she lost her shoes. Then she stepped on a sea urchin trying to get Joseph. I've got three girls. I'm trying to get to the shore. By the time our family got up on the sand, we were a battered, bloody mess. I mean, it looked pathetic. I think I was bleeding all over. I had gotten all scraped up trying to get him over there. Susanna couldn't walk. Joseph thought he was going to die. The girls thought the family was over. I mean, it was unbelievable. The walk back to the car was like, you know, thank you, Lord, we are alive, you know. And then to top it all off, we got back to the car and I got a parking ticket because we were a few minutes late trying to get back to the car. So it was just a great day down at the ocean, you know. But just like that wave was really working to divide our family and home, so Satan desires to divide our families as well. And he's lying to everyone in the family, convincing them that the fact that they're not spending a lot of time together anymore is no big deal. He's convincing our children that they're getting older and they're becoming their own person and they don't need us as much as they used to. He's convincing you and I as parents that we're doing our best to provide for our family and the needs are growing, and so we don't have as much time with them. He's convincing us as husbands and wives that life is busy. We have our own interests and pursuits. There's nothing wrong with that. And he's constantly, daily, encouraging us to just justify and be content with the fact that we don't spend the kind of time together like we used to or like we should. And the tragedy of that is Satan knows exactly what he's doing. He's dividing and conquering the home. And we have to understand what he's doing, and then we have to secure against it. So let's jump into that study this morning. Look with me, first of all, at number one, family fragmentation. Now, this is what Satan is trying to do. He's trying to fragment our families. And we're going to define family fragmentation as the accelerating tendency of families in the 21st century to spend increasingly less time together and more time involved in other pursuits and interests. Have you ever watched Little House on the Prairie or the Andy Griffith Show? Those are some popular ones in our homes. And a lot of those shows, you know what happens on a daily basis? The family comes back together again after work, school, chores, farm life, whatever. They sit around this thing called a table. They sit on these thing called chairs. They look in each other's eyes and they eat a home-cooked meal. You ever seen that? Now, you don't see that a lot in American homes today. We're all running. And we got a lot going. And we're becoming increasingly more comfortable with this fragmented family that is pursuing its own interest and is gathering much less time together than it should. Now, why is this? Well, first of all, letter A, because of the current of our culture. Now, there is a current alive in our culture today that is pulling families apart. Schedules are becoming increasingly more complex and stressful to manage, and it's difficult to spend time together. Think about the average family today with the school schedule and the sports schedule, the music lessons, the youth activities at church, and maybe ministry that you're involved in, and extracurricular activities together as a family or individuals in the family, and then time with friends and homework and parents' careers and their hobbies and their interests and their pursuits. And then all the while the bills are getting more to deal with, and you've got the financial burdens, and you've got the school bill, and you've got orthodontist bills now, and you've got career demands, and now you need to travel some, and on and on and on it goes. And just the currents of our culture and society where the schedule for the family is being stretched and family time is non-existent in our culture today. We live in a very fast-paced society. And before you realize it, you're almost entirely separated from the people that you love and from the people that you have been given by God to steward the relationship with. They're growing distant and they desperately need you. Now here's a fact. It is possible for you and I to share the same dwelling space and to draw from the same resources as our spouse or our family and not be functioning as the family that God intended for us to function. You say, well, I mean, we all share the same address. We all eat out of the same fridge. That may be true. But our family may not be in harmony with God's design because God designed us to spend time together. And he warns you and I in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. Class, God wants our families to be different. God wants our pursuits and interests to be different. God doesn't want you and I to be like everybody else out there. God wants you and I to be distinct. He wants us to be his, and he wants our homes to operate accordingly. He said in Ephesians 5, there in your notes, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Dads, what's the will of the Lord for your life and home? Mom, what's the will of the Lord for your wife, for your life and your home? Couples, what's the will of the Lord for your marriage? God wants us to know his will and live in pursuit of it. So we have to be aware of the current of culture. Then letter B, we've got to make a commitment to survive our culture. Well, we can't just take ourselves and put us back into the era of Andy and Barney. Or to Little House on the Prairie. Or to, you know, Beaver or whatever. We live in 2018. It's the time in which God has placed us. So if we're going to survive the cultural trend, then we've got to make a commitment to it. Joshua said in Joshua 24:15, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. regardless of what everyone else is doing or how they're spending their time or the priorities by which they govern their life, we are going to serve God. Now, having commitments is not a bad thing, and God gives all of us opportunities. But we have to learn through biblical wisdom what to say yes to and what to say no to. Why? Because a commitment to too many good things is not a good thing at all. Oftentimes, now sometimes as a family's just coming to know the Lord, they're still choosing between good and bad. They're still choosing between, you know, go to church or stay home or, you know, do right or do this thing that displeases the Lord. And they're learning and they're growing. But as you learn and you grow and you kind of get a rhythm for what God expects and you're doing your best to live obediently, many decisions are not between good and bad, but they're between what's good and the best. And if we make too many commitments to good things, we can be excluding the best things from getting our best time. And we've got to be careful to identify this trend of busyness and chaos in the family life of American homes, because we can begin to justify it like, listen, it's 2018. Everybody has one of these. This is just the way it works. It's the way people operate. It's just what it is. And if we're not careful, we begin to justify and accept something that God has no intention of us doing. God wants our homes to operate His way. And so we have to determine and commit, we're going to survive this cultural phenomenon. We're going to push back. We're going to be a family that looks each other in the eye, and we're going to choose to hold on tightly when the craziness of the culture is happening all around us. And moms and dads, I want to encourage you at all odds to make this commitment, to hold out that firm hand, number one, amongst one another. As husbands and wives, you have to make a commitment. We're going to get time together. We're going to make our marriage a priority. We're going to invest in this gift that God has given to us. And then to every dad and mom in the room, there has to be this commitment that we're going to do whatever it takes. If it's swimming upstream, if whatever we have to do, we are making our home a priority, because a barrage of good things will come into your life, and if you're not careful, they will squeeze out every last minute of family time that you have, until every ounce of energy that you have to nurture those that you truly love is given to somebody else. And if you're not careful, you'll look at your family and it will be fragmented, where you have accelerated in other pursuits and have abandoned the priority that God has given to you. We've got to make a commitment to fight that, turning the hearts of the children and fathers one to the other. Now, we must understand, letter C, that family fragmentation is caused by our culture. There's a pace we have to be aware of so we can guard against it. 2 Timothy 3:1 says, "This know also, and in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful." Now, here's a description of what it's going to be like right before the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. Before it's over, here's what it's going to be like. And what is it going to be? People are going to be lovers of their own selves. Gabe, I don't know what the big deal is. My life is mine. This is what I want to do. I'm happy when I do this. So why should I not? That's a sign of the last times. We are a lover of our own selves. What we want is what matters. Everything else will have to get figured out. Now, God doesn't want you and I to live that way. God wants every husband in this room living for his wife. God wants every wife in this room living for her husband. God wants parents to understand that God has given you the gift of life, literally, in the lives of your child or children. And you have them, but for such a short time, you're going to blink and these years are going to be over. And God wants you to recognize that, to hold on to it, and to fight against the fragmentation that's coming from our society. And sometimes we're not getting the time together that we should, and we rationalize it because we're working so hard to provide every good thing for our child in an effort to care for their every need that we're withholding the best thing from them, and that is our time. Can I be so bold as to give you this illustration? Better for your child to have crooked teeth the rest of their life than to have the braces you can pay for and not time with you. That's what I'm talking about. Now, do I want all of our children to have crooked teeth? No. And if they have it, and that's God's will, and that's the way it is, so be it. I'm 37 years old. I have a baby tooth right there. The real one has never come in. It's sitting right above there. When I was a kid growing up, we never went to the dentist. We didn't have money for it. We didn't do any of that kind of stuff. And my teeth aren't great, but the way God made me, nobody can see them. It's just the way it is. I go to the dentist and they're like, you know, can you smile so we can see your teeth? And I smile and you can't see them. And then they get in there and they start prying my lips up, you know, and they're like, wow, it really is a little different there. I said, I told you. It's just the way it is. Now, could we have done some things differently growing up in the dental department in the rural household? Maybe. Would we have benefited from some things? Maybe. But I want to tell you, looking back, I don't care that I have a baby tooth in my mouth at 37 years old. But I am very grateful I had a mom and a dad that made big of family time. And more important than something they could provide, they just gave of themselves. And I'm not advocating not taking on responsibility of being a mom and dad. I'm clearly trying to illustrate far more than something you can provide or give or do is giving of yourself. And it's imperative that we understand the importance of giving ourselves to our family, not pursuing providing every good thing, that we withhold the best thing, and that is time together. Many families today, dad works long days, mom has to work as well, kids go to school, they get home to an empty house, they're trying to do homework and whatever else, mom and dad get home, everybody's exhausted, mom and dad just want a couple of hours of TV, everybody eats dinner on their own, kids are in the room playing video games, there's a few brief interactions between the bathroom and the refrigerator saying, hi and how did your day go, and that's it. And we wonder why in the world the American home is falling apart. Because there's no time together. We're too busy doing everything else. And God said one of the things that's going to happen to bring this whole thing around is getting dads back involved in children's lives and children back connected to dads. Amen. Turning their hearts one to the other. And I encourage you this morning personally, take an inventory of your life. Look back over the last 2 months. In an average week, how much time did you spend with your spouse? Quality time. Over the last 2 months, 8 weeks, over those weeks, how much time did you spend with each child individually? What kind of time are you getting? And if you're not getting what you should or what the Lord lays upon your heart, ask yourself why. What is in the way? What have I allowed into my life? Maybe a good thing, but it's robbing me from the best thing. And you and I must understand that we have to make our family a priority. Nothing is more spiritually destructive to our children than having no time with mom and dad. And we've got to say some no to some things so that we can say yes to that which truly matters. And I want to encourage you, that doesn't mean you say no to church. Well, we're not going to go to the fellowship night tonight because we really need family time. But we spent Friday and Saturday night watching TV. Listen, one of the greatest things you can do for your family is lead them into church. One of the greatest things you can do is begin to develop a habit for them of being in God's Word, being in prayer, being in God's house, being attentive and learning. It's one of the greatest things you'll ever do. You don't want to cut out the institution that God ordained to support you and your family. There's a lot of other things that could go that would help you have the time together as a family that God desires for you to have. There's an attack against the home. And the Bible says in Matthew 12:25, and Jesus knew their thoughts, and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. So there's an attack trying to fragment the family. How do we combat that? Number two, with family time. Family time. Now, letter A, the family is designed to nurture each other. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:4, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. God wants you and I to be in a nurturing relationship with our children and with our spouse. No child ever feels more alive or more secure than when they're with their parents. Do you remember a time in the rearing of your children where you could tell that they were lost or couldn't see you, but you could see them? And did you ever just hang back a little bit to just let them panic for a little bit before revealing you knew where they were? Remember one time we were traveling as a family and we were in an airport, it was a little busy, and Joseph just assumed that since we flew out of gate whatever, that that's what we were going to fly out the next time. So we got to the airport, we're all family, we got our bags, we're getting ready to go, and Joseph just takes off like he owns the place and he knows where he's going, and he's going back to the gate we left from a couple of days ago. We weren't flying out of that gate. We weren't even near that gate. So we just kind of hung back and watched him. And he kept going again. And finally, he realized he's all by himself. No family members around. Busy place, lots of strangers. And you could see in his mind a little worry coming over, like, where did everybody go? You know, and I mean, he got on his knees, make sure he missed the rapture. No, I'm teasing. But I mean, he was just kind of making sure, you know, where's the family and what's going on? And we let that just sink in for a second. Then we went and rescued him, you know, and man, we're here, buddy, and it's okay. And explain sometimes you go to different gates than before. But a child is doing best when they are with their parents. And children who struggle many times in life are those who've lost connection with their parents. Sometimes a wife is grieved when there's no connection with her husband. Sometimes a husband is struggling in the marriage relationship where there's no connection with the wife, and the family becomes fragmented because there's no connection happening in their life, and they are disconnected one from the other. Yes, they share the same address. They get food out of the same refrigerator, but there is no connection. And you have to understand this morning, God designed you to nurture one another. Husband, nurture your wife. Love her. Make her a priority. Wife, nurture your husband. Love him. Make him a priority. Mom and dad, nurture your children. Spend time with them. Study your calendar this week. Cancel something. Put a family night in its place. This isn't as important as that. What am I doing? I'm consumed with this pursuit. I'm consumed with this interest. I'm involved in this. I'm involved in that. I'm all over the place, and I'm disconnected at home. That's got to stop. I got to make some adjustments. I need to be here having time with him. You cannot study Ephesians 6:4 and the command to nurture and not understand at the baseline that means spending a lot of time together. We're not going to nurture as we should without time together. So let her be, parents. We must be encouraged to find balance. We've got to find balance. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 6, and we're hastening, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Now God gives you and I some challenges here. Let me give them to you very quickly. Number one, God challenges you and I to love him with our whole heart, soul, and strength. Simply put, God wants every one of us in this room and the environment of the home to be modeling the Christian life. And if we're going to be the husband, wife, father, mother that we're supposed to be, we first have to be the Christian we're supposed to be. God wants you and I to exemplify a life before our family that pleases and honors him. We cannot get after our kids for not obeying us if we're disobeying God. We can't be worried about how much our kids love us if we love something more than we love God. We cannot lead our children to a place we are not at. We have to exemplify the Christian life. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. His design, my prayer for us as a class is that this would be a room filled with people that passionately love God. That just the casual glimpse of your life says one thing. That person loves God. That man loves God. That lady loves God. You can just tell. The life they live and the way they live it, they love God. That's the challenge God gives you and I in the home. Love me. Provide an example of your love to me. Why? Because your family will ultimately reflect your true commitment to the Lord. We may look at our family and be discouraged about many things, but may we first look in the mirror. What example do we provide? Because they're following us. And I speak to every dad in this room very candidly in love. Your home is where you have led it to be. And you may not like what's happening. And I just challenge you then, look at your life. Look at your priorities. Look at what's happening. What are you passionately pursuing? Are you passionately pursuing God? Are you passionately pursuing Christ? Are you passionately pursuing your wife, your children? Because we are responsible to lead our homes. And oftentimes our homes are exactly where we have led them. And if we don't like where they are, then we need to lead properly. And I understand sometimes there are situations where people under our leadership will make choices and they'll leave and they'll give an account for that. But may every one of us in here as a brotherhood of husbands and fathers encourage one another. Let's lead passionately for the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, you've got to have this relationship. But then he says, not only must you have it, but then you must keep his words. He says, I want you to have a love for God with your heart, soul, and strength. And then I want you to learn and to keep. Now, by the word keep, he's saying, I don't want you to be perfect, but I want you to be honoring and protecting the Word of God in your home. What is God saying? God is saying, listen, there needs to be a passionate love in your heart for God, but that love needs to determine your behavior. Now, nobody in here is going to be perfect. There's no perfect husband or wife. There's no perfect father or mother. We are all in here sinners in need of a Savior and in need of help. It's why we've gathered this morning to study the Word of God to get some help. But as we learn the Word of God and we exhibit love to God, God wants that to change the way we live. As people accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and as they follow the Lord and begin to learn and study His Word, their lives begin to change. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And God says, your family should watch this transformation coming alive in you in front of them. They should see this keeping of the Word and this transformation becoming more like Christ. And once we have loved Christ, and once we're being transformed in the image of Christ, then he tells us to teach them. When you're rising up, when you're lying down, when you're walking, when you're sitting, in every way God wants you and I to teach the principles in which we're learning. The Bible says in Psalm 78:4, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praise of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. And then we see letter C, that the family must make time together a top priority. To every one of us as husbands and dads, can I challenge all of us this morning? There's no excuse for neglecting our bride or family. There's none. And I don't know what that's going to mean. That might mean a different job. That might mean a different house. That might mean whatever. I don't know. But there has to come to a place in your life where you say, this is so important, I'm willing to do whatever that means. I'm willing to make the adjustments and sacrifices necessary so I am home nurturing my bride and nurturing my children, making our family time together a top priority, determining to spend large quantities of quality time with our wife and with our children. And listen, it's not just the importance of dads, but we live in a society that is doing all it can to take dad out of the home. There's a reason why homes are a mess in America today, because we need husbands and we need dads and they need to be home. And the role of the wife is critical. And the team is critical. There may be a single parent or a parent that's kind of going it alone. And by God's grace, God can provide and God can work there. But God's plan is that husband and wife would come together. And in His time and in His will, He'll give them children. And God plans for them to be home and nurturing one another. And I just want to challenge us this morning. Be aware of the fact that Satan wants to divide and conquer. And can I encourage you this morning? Do not be content not being close. How are you and your wife doing? Well, we're not as close as we used to be. Why? Well, no. Don't be content not being close. Put your running shoes on, do what you got to do, and go after her. How are you and your kids doing? Well, we're not as close as we used to be. Listen, I get it. When they're real young, they totally need you. They can't go to the bathroom. They can't eat. They can't do anything. And as they get older, there is more physical dependency on themselves and not on us. I totally get it. But here's the mistake we make. We assume that with that physical transformation that they no longer need us. Wrong. Your children need you now more than ever before. It may not be for the physical, but it is certainly for the spiritual. Are they not under attack today? Is Satan not out to devour their life? So, okay, they know how to tie their shoe now. They can make their way around the kitchen. They can wash a little laundry. They can iron. They can make their bed. They know how to brush their teeth. They got some of this stuff figured out. They can do their homework without being babysat. And they can pack a lunch or whatever the case may be. They're doing some of those things. Good job. They still need you. They need your life. They need your involvement. They need your study of God's Word. They need your example. They need you to get into their life and to talk to them. How are you doing? How are your relationships? How are things going? They need you. And you have to determine in your heart, we are going to make our family a priority. God blessed us in marriage. We're making it a priority. Maybe God blessed our home with children. We're making that a priority. We want to dedicate ourselves to that which is important to God. We're dealing with a culture that distances parents and children. And it's common, but albeit it's unhealthy. And we have to determine we are going to fight against that current. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:26, "My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways." Class, Satan wants to destroy our home. And one of the very successful tactics is divide and conquer. So as we close, will you just think in your mind this morning, is our house divided? How is our marriage? Is it strong or disconnected? How is our relationship with our children? Is it healthy? Is it nurturing? Or are we suffering some disconnect? And let's be willing to honestly evaluate our life and say, do we have time together? As husband and wife, do we have time? As a child of God, do I have time with Him? As a parent, do I have time with my children? And whatever adjustments I need to make to ensure that quality time is being spent on the relationship that matters most, it will be worth it. Because someday we will look back at these years and they will have flown by so fast, and we will say, boy, am I glad I said no to some other stuff and said yes to what truly matters, because this matters for all of an eternity. Let's secure and protect our homes against this tactics of divide and conquer. How do we do that? We're learning that next week, so don't miss it. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your precious word, and we thank you for our time spent together in it. And Lord, as we have been challenged this morning, Satan is out to divide and conquer. He wants our homes to be destroyed and to be evidence of what he can do. But God, rather, may they be a testament of your grace and a trophy of your grace. And may we learn this morning the importance of just being together. And may we hold tight in the frenzy of the current of our culture and say, as for me and my house, we're not going that way. We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to spend time together. We're going to spend time with God and as a marriage and in our family. And we're going to make this a priority because this is what matters. And we've got to get it right. Lord, help us to make the adjustments necessary. May we secure our home against the tactic to divide and conquer. And we'll thank you for your help. Bless now the service and the remainder of the day, the fellowships tonight. We're so looking forward to that together as a class. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.